PlayStation. Unchained.
Hello everyone, welcome to PlayStation Unchained. I'm your host, Chili, as we talk about news, reviews, and guides and all that good stuff over on PSU.com. Go check out PSU.com right now. Go and do it. Okay. Joining me this week is Alfonso. Hey, Alfonso.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Can't complain. Sorry, missing the last week. My wife is sick. Didn't turn out to be that big of a deal, but she's good. I'm good. Can't complain. Good to be back on.
Awesome. And Gary, how are you?
I'm all right, Ben. How's it going?
I'm exhausted from World Tournament.
As you should be.
Aye.
Oh, you're fine. I've
about to load up World Tournament as I said that. I'm not lying. I have it right next to me.
That's awesome, man. I'm okay. I'm okay. Playing games, the finished Rebirth. Oh, yeah, nice. Finished Rebirth. That's all I'll say on that until you're done with it. Then maybe we can discuss and you can tell me how stupid and dumb my opinions are.
I'm in chapter 13 right now, so that's where I am. I'm just going to the place that belongs.
To the place! You're almost there, Ben.
But I want to go back and do all the side stuff before that. Well, at least some of the side stuff that I care about.
Did you finish the Queen's Blood side quest?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
That's what I said. I want to go back and finish the side stuff I care about, like the Queen's Blood.
I thought that's where you were heading last week, talk. So I thought that.
Yeah, I did. I've got to do 3 more matches, I think.
Okay.
I've got to fight a person in a coffin. So that's what I've been told. We all know who it is, but for spoiler reasons, I'm not going to say who. But like that's what it tells me I have to go do. I'm still doing that. I was going to do it this weekend, but then I forgot World Tournament. So, you know, it will have to wait until the World Tournament is over.
Wait until Queensboard comes out as a party game on your phone. And then, sorry guys, I got a Queensboard tournament to go play.
Add it to Pharmacy 14. They've already got what you call it.
Triple Triad.
Triad. So, and you get a cool Triple Triad.
I wouldn't be surprised if eventually they do it.
You get a cool massive Triple Triad card as a mount if you get all the original Triple Triad cards in the game.
If they do another 7 collaboration, I'm sure they'll put it in there. It would be pretty cool.
Another. We've never had one.
I thought they did. I thought they added like Cloud's Advent Children outfit, didn't they?
Yeah, but that was just a login bonus. Like, you know, for having a certain amount of days subscribed.
Oh, I thought it was like mini event. I thought they added minions, little minions of Tifa and stuff, too.
Those were for FanFest.
Oh, shit. Well, something tells me when Part 3 comes out, which I think, at the point you're at now, Ben, I think you can guess what the title is going to be. they'll kind of force it down your throat the further you keep going. I'm sure it'll happen once the trilogy is done. So
finally, Final Fantasy VII Regenesis. Finally.
Well, as cool as that sounds, no, you'll know what it is because they use the term like every other sentence. So if that's not what they're going to call it, Part 3, then
if it's reunion, then no, because we already have Crisis Core. And they use that word all the time in the original game as well. Like, so, you know, I'm not shocked that would be... I don't know if it's been used or not, but it definitely is a word that they used to use all the time in the original 7. So, it is a word well known for... We already had Crisis Core with that, so I don't think it'd be called that. Maybe, I don't know. Final Fantasy 7 Returnal. I don't know. Multiverse of 4 of 7 re. Oh no, there's got to be a re in it, right? I don't know. I can't think of any more re words. Final Fantasy 7 Reversal.
I'll take that name if they undo everything they did in this one. Especially when he came to the story.
uh. I'm gonna go reversal. I actually like it. So yeah, that'd
be nice. When you finish the game, please let me know, because I saved the screenshot and I sent it to my friends, and I was like, this is how I feel after finishing this game.
So far, the story's been pretty good, though. Apart from one bit recently, which frustrated me, because I'm like, the character feels different than it did in the original, and it feels weird that he did that again in this game. But apart from that, I've liked the story. And I'm talking Kate Sith, so... This isn't a Final Fantasy VII podcast as much as I'd want it to be. We should talk about some other games. But, you know, go check out our reviews of Final Fantasy VII. Well, talking about old games that are coming back, though, that I supposedly is coming back, but I didn't think the original sold that well, so I'm surprised that they're doing this. Medieval 2 is supposedly being remade, and from what we've heard, it's supposedly also shadow dropping at the showcase as well. So that means it will launch as soon as the showcase comes out. I didn't even know Medieval 1 did well, and to be fair, we've had loads of remakes of 1, and I think this is the first time 2 has ever been remade, so it'd be interesting to see what they do. I never played 2. I played 1, but I'm interested, Gary.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I don't know what it is about this franchise that has Sony so invested in it. Constantly releasing it. They remade it on the Vita. They re-released it on the PS3. Then they remastered it for the PS4. Now they're doing the sequel. They seem to really want this franchise to take off. And I don't blame them. I actually think it's a good franchise. It just never took off, you know, since the PS1 days. Maybe it's because outside of... it is because it's the only PS1 franchise that Sony made that they still have the license to, right? I mean... They did Spyro, that's owned by Activision. They did Crash, that's owned by Activision now. I guess Medieval, you can say, is like the third one there that they've kept the license to. Maybe they're just trying to have something other than Ratchet and Clank that's successful for them. I don't know, but the franchise just doesn't seem to want to take off. Even with the remake they did of the first one, it didn't really take off, so it's just... It's weird that they're investing so much to keep this franchise going when I think there's so many other dormant franchises that Sony owns that they can probably show even half the love that they've shown Medieval to see if maybe those franchises can have a second lease on life, you know? So it's interesting. But we'll see if this rumor is true. I do enjoy me some Medieval, so I'll be happy to play it again.
The way you say that, I wonder if they've got is it Sony that owns it completely, or is it made by another company and licensed to them? Because
no, I think Medieval is owned by Sony. I mean, they're the only ones who've published those games, so I don't know.
I can have a look, because I don't know. I'm getting weird, like, oh yeah, it was Sony Cambridge Studios, Cambridge. Which Guerrilla Cambridge, which used to be Sony Studio Cambridge. I know it sounds weird, but I was getting like Hulk vibes. You know how they couldn't use the Hulk because so-and-so owned the license and they had to keep redoing the game, redoing it to keep the license sort of thing.
Yeah, that would be Sega.
Yeah. And also I think it's actually a thing with Doctor Who as well. Like there's certain characters in Doctor Who that were actually licensed by another company. And they actually have to keep using them in the show to keep the license. I think I can make people wrong. But like you saying about the Medieval thing, them constantly pushing it like that made me think like, oh, maybe they have the license and they have to have a certain amount of Medieval games released at a certain amount of years for them to keep the license or to keep the copyright at least. Like, so nobody else can like copyright sort of the game.
Mm. I mean, it's a possibility. You know, it is definitely a possibility.
But that's just a conspiracy theory based on. But, anyway,
but let's continue to what you're saying. If that is true, why continue trying it if it's not being successful for you? If it's not moving, like Gary said, what's the real reason behind it? I honestly, me personally, I'm not a big fan of Medieval. Yes, I played it. I played all the versions that came out, but I just to see what's the you know the peak interest behind the game, but I to this day I don't see it. I never really played the second one, maybe like 10% out of it, but I never went back to it because I just didn't care. And I don't think I'm gonna care for this one if it is true. So yeah, I will have to see, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I'm almost now thinking that like it's a fan favorite of like Hiram Hoist, and he's like, do it because I want it and I'm in charge.
By the way, it wasn't. It looks like from reading online on the wiki, it actually started an independent developer, and then got bought out and moved over to Sony.
Mm.
But
it's still Sony owned. It. The license is owned by Sony. Yeah. So. I don't know. Maybe it's like one of the easier games for them to port. Maybe the programming and the code on it is very simple and easy. So it doesn't require a lot of, you know, money and resources to kind of port it over. I don't know. Maybe it's a game that they're using for like, you know, rookie developers to see, you know, where they are on their skill level. Give them something easy to work on and see if, how it turns out. I don't know. It's just a weird case for me when it comes to that franchise.
Oh, interesting. Okay, the developers that before they made Medieval worked on Creatures. I remember that being a hype game back in the day. And James Pond. I remember James Pond. There you go. Histories. Which was a fish-based James Bond parody game.
So sounds there you fantastic. Go.
Well, talk about fantastic. Supposedly for some people, not for me. I'm not a big fan of this franchise. But for some people, this is fantastic. For me, not really. The Witcher 4 is being worked on, supposedly. I don't know how Witcher 3 went because I got bored of it right away. But supposedly Witcher 4 is being made. Alfonso.
It's no surprise. Witcher 3, Game of the Year for 2014. My favorite out of the franchise. I hope they don't mess it up like they did with Cyberpunk. That's just my thing in terms of, you know, they release it and it's just broken from day one. Honestly, I don't think we need a Witcher 4. I was content with 3. I don't think it needs to go on. That's just me personally. But I will play it when it comes out. So this is good news to hear. But yeah, I really don't care if they do make a 4 or not. I'm happy how it ends with 3 ended. So that's just me.
Gary.
Well, Alfonso, you'll be happy to hear because Witcher 4 is not with Geralt. It's a different character. So, different story, different time, I guess. It's not Geralt's story this time. So, that's always a positive if you're content with how 3 ended. I'm excited. I loved Witcher 3. I actually liked all the 3 Witcher games, even though that's probably one of the few franchises that I've played where the older games don't hold up well at all. at least through a gameplay perspective, the stories are still good. The dialogue is great, but the gameplay, all 3 of them play so vastly different that, they just don't age very well. But you know, this is also very worrisome because CD Projekt is, you know, the one studio, I think they have a second studio here in North America or in Canada. I don't remember which one, but North America. But, you know, they're working on Witcher 4. They already said they're working on a sequel to Cyberpunk, but they're also working on a remake of the first Witcher game. So they're working on 3 insanely massive projects. And that's very worrisome to me because, as Alfonso, you mentioned, getting the one game of Cyberpunk to come out took so long, and it was so broken on release. Now you're telling me they're not working on 2 but 3 games? That's worrisome as hell to me. So, as excited as I am for The Witcher 4, especially with the small teaser we got of, you know, the medallion buried in snow and the wind blowing the snow away. That tells me he's going to have a snow setting. So I'm super happy about that, because if you know me, every game has to have snow for me, because I love snow. That already piqued my interest. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I don't think we're going to see this game until at least the PS6 comes out easily. And even then, it'll probably be like a year and a half before it comes out, after that console comes out. So I wouldn't expect this game anytime soon. So, yeah.
I'd argue we might look in at the PS7, to be honest.
Well, for the finished version, right? Not the beta that we're going to get.
No, just or the in early general,
access,
because...
the early access version that they gave us with Cyberpunk.
Let's just say they're working on... You said they're working on three projects. A huge chance that Cyberpunk 2 is coming first. So that's probably going to be early PS6 era, and this will probably be late PS6 with how long developments are. Like, the average game development... Like, if you're going to start a game now in development, you're not starting on PS5. Like, that's a fact. If you're starting a game this year, you're not going to be working your game on current gen. You're aiming for next gen, because the game development cycle is just that long now, which is crazy to think about.
And they're also remaking the first Witcher game, so... Oh.
I mean,
we'll probably get that before we get Witcher 4, easily.
Yeah. So, Cyberpunk 2, end of PS5, start of PS6, Witcher remakes, middle of PS6, Witcher 4, end of PS6, early PS7. That's probably how we're looking, is my thoughts. But that's based on nothing. Just, you know, theories. Talk about theories. Supposedly World of Warcraft might come to console at some point. Spoilers, it won't. I could give you a long story of why it won't, because of add-on support, but who knows? Maybe, Gary.
Ooh. I mean, it's something people have been asking for a long time, hasn't it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be worth it for them at this point to release it on console. They have a better chance of just making Warcraft 2, World of Warcraft 2, and then releasing that on console. I just don't know how they'll be able to port that and all of its expansions and everything onto the console, and if it's even worth doing for them at this point. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I could see it happening because, you know, like, this can't possibly be a Microsoft decision or an Xbox or, god damn it, an Activision decision, because if it would be, they would have done it a long time ago. I'm thinking this is a Microsoft decision. And then wanting World of Warcraft on Xbox, and may as well put it on PlayStation while you're at it too.
They started working on controller support before Microsoft got bought. But before they bought them out by Microsoft, they added controller support way back in Shadowlands. So that's when native.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's an indication they wanted to port it to console eventually. Like, almost every game on PC supports console or controllers. So.
Yeah, but there was already add-ons that unofficially added controller support. So, you know, with console port. That was the name of the add-on, by the way. So, I don't know. All I know is that if this came to console, there's a huge chance if you went to raid on WoW and you say you're on console, you'll be kicked from the raid, is probably easily what's going to happen.
Easily. It'd be the fastest thing that happens, especially if it has crossplay support. Like,
yeah.
If people are not going to want to play with you because you're so much slower on your controller.
Yeah.
Than you are on, you know, your keyboard, where you have like every hotkey available to you to access like the thousands of fucking commands those games have. So,
not just that, but because of how much the game relies on third-party support. Like, if you play on WoW, you're gonna have like 5 or 6 programs running at the same time to tell you what to do, so you don't have to think. Alfonso.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I'm sorry. Like you said, while it's made for PC, it runs well on PC. Like, I'm trying to picture if you port this to console, how would it run on console? And like, to me, it's not computing that. I don't think it's gonna run. I think it's gonna be a very buggy, laggy mess. Yeah, I'd rather just stay on PC. That's just me personally. I'm not a big WoW gameplay user. but I had dabbled in the past, and yeah, that's not something I see myself playing on console.
That's fair. Well, keeping on with the Blizzard stuff, a new Overwatch 2 season started, and I've got to mention the pricing. The pricing is insane. Okay, for anyone that doesn't know, they're adding a feature to allow you to get old Mythic skins. Mythic skins were the reward for completing the Battle Pass. So if you complete the Battle Pass in night 9, you got a Mora skin. Now, if you complete the Battle Pass in 10, you don't get a skin, but you do get Mythic currency. You get these currencies that you can then use to buy a Mythic from the shop. This current Mythic is Mercy, so you can use those currencies to buy Mercy. But the old Mythics are also included on the shop, but you only get enough currency in the Battle Pass to purchase one Mythic skin. So you could pick the new Mercy skin up, or you could go back and buy one of the other skins. You can't do both. Unless you want to spend money, you can spend £64 or just over $70 to buy enough skin, a currency to fully get a Mythic skin on the store. So that's that. The new skin with all its customizations will cost $70 for a skin. I think you could get a little bit cheaper if you don't want all the customization options, but come on, if you're going to buy it, you want all the options, right? You don't want to just buy. So if you, and also remember that although Mercy is added to the store right now for this season, she won't be added to the history ones until, like, the current one only gets added 2 seasons after it comes out. So Mercy will be added to the store again in season 12, I think. It's either season 12 or season 13. I don't know exactly. I don't know if it's like, either way, it's either season 12 or season 13 that she'll be coming back. So if you do decide to pick up another skin other than Mercy, you're going to have to wait until she comes back in several months. I'm not sure how I feel about this. It's expensive. Alfonso.
Remind me again, Ben, you said it costs $70 for just one skin?
Yeah, for one skin. You do get one free technically with the Battle Pass, but you either have a choice of the current one that's just come out or one of the older ones. You can't get both. Otherwise, you have to spend the 70.
And that's all you get. Nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, you get
customizations
for her. Well, the Battle Pass, of course, you get other stuff for the Battle Pass, but no, for the skin, you just get the skin and a couple of different choices for customizing the skin, of course. There's some colors, some like accessories and stuff like that you can mix and match with the skin. But those only work with the skin, by the way. You can't just use it with other skins. So you could like have a mask or not have a mask or have a full, like, sort of thing. Yeah.
This is just being greedy. To be honest, again, never play Overwatch 1, never play Overwatch 2. Those are not my type of games. I don't ever see myself playing it. But to hear this, $70, that's a price of a new game today. That, and just, it's $70 for what, that hurts my soul. It hurts my soul as a gamer because not a lot of people have $70 to spend. These games and other types of media is getting expensive. And you want me, like, say if you had your last $70 and you choose it, what to spend it on, and you, the developer, wants you to spend it on a skin. What's the purpose of that? That you get to play it for a little while. Like, you, when you spend things, you're supposed to enjoy the value of what you're spending. I don't want to spend $70 on one skin and that's it. No, I don't like this at all. No.
Little update, but you can get it for $40, but you won't have the customization. So you can get the basic skin for 40, but if you want everything, it's 70. I just double checked.
No, Ben, I'm sorry, that's stupid. I'm sorry. No, I'm not wasting $70 on that.
There you go. That this is the Mercy. So I've put in our chat. You get, see the first one there. That's what you get for $40, $50, $60, and then $70. So you know, that's what you get.
No. Mm-mm, no. For some color change? Nope.
So yeah, that's what you get. Color, slight color changes and a mask.
No, they can keep that.
So technically you get one free with a battle pass, but then you've got a choice of either getting the current mythic or one of the older mythics. So, Gary.
Why is it every time we talk about Overwatch, it's always negative stuff? We never talk about, but even when they have their Cowboy Bebop collaboration, like, it was negative because they made the characters look so terrible in the outfit. I think this is a smart move from Blizzard. And I say this simply because they're not getting any new fans. The game is not growing anymore. Everything they're doing now is being designed for the most hardcore players. And they know their hardcore players will dish out that $70 or that $40 to have that skin. This is not aimed for people like us who look at it and be like, $70 for a character skin? That's crazy. This is aimed for people who have logged like 3,000 hours into the game, because they will buy it. And they know they will buy it. I think that's kind of where they are now at this point, where it's not about growing the Overwatch audience anymore. It's about keeping the audience you have happy. And I feel like every patch, every update, everything they've done so far has been to appease those players and the players who are doing the tournament play for the game. It's no longer for the casuals anymore. They're strictly aiming for the most hardcore fans. In the same way that I believe Destiny 2 is doing the same thing. People are shitting on Destiny 2 for so long now. And in some cases, very justified, especially with the layoffs. But then you look at the top sellers on PSN, and the latest expansion that's coming out is the number 4 selling thing on PSN. So clearly people still love Destiny if it's the number 1 in the top 4 of the best selling things that they have. And that's not designed anymore to bring in new players. Destiny 2 is designed to keep the players happy that have been there for the longest time and engaged, and essentially releasing an expansion specifically for them at this point. So I'm kind of seeing it that way now, with a lot of these games, because they don't have an audience to grow anymore. They've had years and years and years to grow their audience, and when it stopped growing, they knew that, hey, it's been like 5 years since we released this game. I don't think we're going to get more players coming in anymore. So I see it that way with the skin. So in a way, we're hating on it because it's us, we're not playing the game, but the hardcore fans, they're going to eat this up. This is designed for them. They're going to want all these various options. So, and chances are those hardcore players already have all the other outfits. So they're probably just going to do the battle pass and get what they want and be done with it. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel now about this kind of stuff.
Okay. By the way, it's not gaming news, but I kind of want to drop it here just because, well, it'll be out by the time we drop it, just because I just want to talk about it, just because it just got announced. It's not gaming, but I mean, come on, we're nerds. New Deadpool trailer tomorrow.
Yes.
So, yeah, they just announced a new Deadpool trailer that drops tomorrow. On April 22nd will be a new Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. So, yeah, I'm excited. I know it's not gaming news, but come on, it's Deadpool.
Doesn't that come out next month?
July.
July? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just looked at the date and I forgot on it. July 26th. I know, because
it was next month, but it got pushed back to July.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I know, wrong.
I'm going to go the full VIP experience for it, I've decided. Deadpool deserves it.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who knows. I've never actually done it. I've always wanted to try, but Cineworld does like a VIP thing where you get like a exclusive lounge before the movie for like 40 minutes. And then you can like, they've got like food that's cooked for you and you can eat the food. And then you've got unlimited popcorn and stuff like that for the movie. Unlimited food and stuff like unlimited snacks for the movie. and complimentary dining, and it's like £29 each, I think, for everything. So yeah, but it's considering the price of tickets for cinemas now, that's not bad. Once you add the snacks, you're paying more than £29. So anyway,
yeah,
this is a VIP. This is an advert for Cineworld. So let's move along. I think we said it last time, but I thought we got a date, but I know it's just a summer now. For some reason, I thought it was a date, but Vampire Survivors is coming to PS5 and it will have a trophy. I thought we had a date of May. Maybe I just dreamt that up. Maybe I just hoped that why did I keep thinking it was May 16th? I can't find that date, but for some reason, my brain said it was like May like 14th to 16th that it was going to come out. I don't know why. But Vampire Survivors, I'll be playing it. I can't wait. I'm hyped. It'll probably come with all the DLC. The new Contra DLC comes out.
No, it does come with all the DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. It comes with all the DLC. Up to that point.
Yeah, up to that point. There'll be more DLC probably. So yeah, I'm excited for Vampire Survivors. It'll be interesting to see if it includes like Twitch mode, like the PC version does. For anyone that doesn't know, Twitch mode means that when you're streaming the game, people can then decide what weapon upgrades you get, and they can also interact with your game by doing stuff in Twitch. Anyway, Gary, Vampire Survivors, yay or nay?
Probably, yeah. I've been hearing a lot of stuff about it. I know there's a lot of games like it on mobile platforms. I see them all the time, and I'm like, I don't want to play that game. But Vampire Survivors seems to be, you know, the breakout hit of that type of game, and you know, maybe I'll give it a shot. You know, it's cheap. It's going to have a platinum trophy. That's what they just announced. So, you know, maybe I'll give it a shot and see what it's like. You know, they're not my cup of tea type of games, but you say it's amazing, and I believe in you, man.
It's so much fun. It's don't expect story, but if you want some mindless action and just some mindless fun and grinding, it's a good game. Like, you can, yeah. And now that I said it has a platinum, Alfonso's already getting the credit card out.
You already know that you had me at platinum slash trophy. That's all I care about. I know nothing about this game, but you said platinum, now I'm all for it.
I was gonna say, I think it's big news because I don't think it had the full gamer score on Xbox that you can get, or it didn't have the achievement thing on Steam as well. So I think that's why it's a big deal that it has a platinum trophy, because most indie games like it don't have platinum trophies.
Okay, talk about indie games. Resident Evil, yeah. Resident Evil 2, 3, and 7 physical PS5 version seems to be incoming after an appearance on a Romanian retailer. Yes, it seems the small indie title Resident Evil might begin physical releases of some of their games, which will be interesting to see. Alfonso.
It is interesting to see for people who love, you know, having physical copies. This is good for them. Me personally, I'm moving more towards digital just because of space. I don't have it right now. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's still good. Like, if I had the space, personally, I would choose physical. But right now, I don't. So, I won't be picking it up if it is true.
Talking about physical stuff, I was recently reading a thing on Reset Era that they were trying to watch episodes of their Simpsons DVD from 15 years ago, and they couldn't because it had already been hit by disc rot, so therefore part of the episode had been corrupt, so they wouldn't work anymore. So yeah, DVDs are already starting to succumb to disc rot. So yeah, physical isn't as perfect as everyone thinks it is.
To me, that sounds like poor keep up on them, because I actually recently watched the DVD from like 20 years ago, and it worked perfectly fine on my PS5.
Well, it really depends on who makes the. It's based on the thing that if it's a dual layer disc as well, that also matters. It really depends on the company that pressed the disc. Some of the companies use better quality discs than others, while others use really poor quality. And if it has multiple layers, that's what causes the problem. If it's just a single layer DVD, it probably won't get hit by disc rot anytime soon. But if it's a multiple layer DVD, it could get in between the two layers of the disc and cause issues that way. So it really depends on the movie and what you're watching. Like, was it like a series of shows or was it a movie you watched?
It was a movie.
Yeah, there's a huge chance that those discs will be fine. It's when it's seasons where there might be so many episodes on the disc that they'll have to use double layered DVDs, and that's what can cause the issues. The movies will probably last longer than like box sets, my guess. Especially big box sets like The Simpsons, where they're probably mass produced, you know, to get as many copies out as possible. So yeah. Anyway, Gary, thoughts on Resident Evil coming to the indie title Resident Evil?
No, I think it's a good idea. You know, they're already available on the PS5 digitally only, because that's how they release them. So it's nice that they're going to be releasing them physically. It also makes sense because it's Capcom and they will release their game on every single thing they can possibly release it on. So it's no surprise that those games will be coming to PS5. So I'm actually fine with this. It's better than waiting, you know, 30 years for it to come to another console. So I'm all for more releases of the same thing on new stuff. So it also helps with the game preservation, doesn't it?
Well, it might, as we were talking about just now. It really depends on...
No, I mean, how can I put this? Preservation as in is going to be available on everything. So I don't have to hunt down an old console to play it, you know, as we've seen with so many consoles, you know. Like, wow, you know, the Wii U, the 3DS, and the DS, all those games are lost forever unless you have them physically. So yeah. They shut down those stores. There's thousands and thousands of games. So
unless Xbox is shutting down theirs.
Yeah, Xbox. Sony was planning to shut it down, which I still think they will eventually. Yeah, so it absolutely sucks, you know. So if this is a way to preserve it, then I'm all for it. Because this seems to be the only way these companies care to preserve these games, because they clearly don't care to preserve them digitally when they're shutting down an entire store. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I just know right now thousands and thousands of games I can never play on my 3DS again because I can't get them unless I unfortunately have to say emulate them illegally. Like, that's the only way to play them now. So it sucks. And I wish that something could be done. I wish these companies would do something.
Talk about lost the time, though. I'm just going to bring up the fact that Little Big Planet 3 servers were off in January to issues, and now they're permanently down. They won't be coming back.
Yeah.
So all those levels that were made are gone.
Yep. Without warning. Without nothing. Just gone.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh. So is there anything anyone wants to bring up before we start going to Metacritic game?
I don't got nothing. Gary?
No.
Time for the Metacritic game. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Boop. Metacritic game. There's two big games coming out this week that have been we've got to review to talk about. Two big games. One of them is quite cheeky, and that's Stellar Blade. Gary?
85.
Alfonso?
I'm going to go 84.
Just for the lols, I'm going to go 69. I don't think it's going to be that low, but come on. I have to. Someone had to give that number. I'm sorry, but someone did. Sandland, the last game by Akira Toriyama. Well, Dragon Quest, right? Dragon Quest would technically be the last one.
Dragon Quest 12, yeah.
Yeah, whenever that comes out, maybe, probably. Yeah.
If it ever comes out, yeah.
Alfonso?
88.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm going to go with 92.
Damn.
Gary?
I'm going to go with 82.
And that's it. That's it for the Metacritic, because we...
I think you can add another one.
What other one?
Illudin Chronicle 100 Heroes, the spiritual successor to Suikoden.
It's already got scores.
Does it?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Because I think that was the game I was reading earlier that people were bitching about because of the score differences. Let's double check. Because I said, you know, there's 100 Heroes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already got a Metacritic score. On PC, it's 78. On Xbox, it's 72. On PS5, it's 83. And then on Switch, it's 54.
What?
So, there you go.
Who's reviewing these games? Who didn't have people? Like, what people are playing these games?
Why? Jesus, why?
Fucking Christ, dude. Well, look how insanely different every score is.
I mean, I understand the Switch version being worse because of the hardware limits.
It looks perfectly fine on the Switch. What the hardware limits? It's a 2D pixel arted RPG.
And then you got... Yeah, so yeah, there you go. That's the scores. Yeah. But to be fair, though, there's only 4 Switch reviews versus 10 PS5, 5 Xbox, and 18 PC. So, and the Switch reviews were done by Nintendo Life, Digital Trends, Silicon, and Nintendo World Report.
So, this is the perfect example right here, man. This game is the absolute perfect example of people remembering a game better than it actually was. And I say this in regards to Suikoden 2, which people consider to be one of the greatest RPGs of all time. This game is literally Suikoden 2 on steroids. And this is the kind of scores it's getting. Fucking wild. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Good thing we didn't do this one. I'd be very upset.
There you go. So.
I personally think this is a phenomenal game. I have been playing it because I got it early through my Kickstarter because I funded it on Kickstarter. So these scores are insane to me.
That's fair. And Sea of Thieves will come. I was going to add Sea of Thieves, but Sea of Thieves comes out the week after. So that gives us, I know we'll probably get reviews before then. Maybe, I don't know, but at least it gives us something to talk about next week because that's pretty much the only big game that I can see for next week. So I'm saving it for next week. So we have something to ask. So Gary, shout outs and how can they find you?
Yeah, shout outs to you guys. Thanks for letting me join you today. Shout out to all the listeners out there. Thank you for listening. You can reach me on Twitter at Gaglaush. That's GAGLAUSH.
And Alfonso, shout outs and how can they find you?
Shout out to you guys. Thank you for having me on. It's good to be back. Shout out to all the listeners. You can follow me on Twitter at AliSan7.
By the way, Grounded still doesn't have reviews, so we cannot put a score for Grounded yet. Anyway, I'm Chili. You can find me over on twitch.tv as MuggleGoneRadio. You can find me at MG_Chili. Thank you to everyone who listens. I hope you all enjoy it. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with more stuff. Until then, stay safe and enjoy gaming. Bye-bye. Bye.
Goodbye.